Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, DVD, XDV, the coolest software for taking content off a DVD and sticking it onto another program. Cool stuff there. MCE Technologies, the place to get MacBook Pros, Mac Pros, all kinds of cool stuff. FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program. Great stuff going on over there at FirmTech. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check out all the cool stuff going on over at Inside Mac Radio at, of course, InsideMacRadio.com. You're joined here today by myself, Scott Shepard, Brad Wright.
Yes.
And Dino Orlando. So, Brad, we just got done with the last week with the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah, great conference.
Really
went well. Yeah, I think this had a lot of good stuff. A lot of things we can't talk about, but generally, I think what you saw at if you watched the keynote, you saw really some of the great stuff that's coming in Leopard. And I think really the big thing is that now you can go beyond 4 gigabytes of memory in an application because it's going to support 64-bit, and so you can load up your new Mac Pro with 16 gig of RAM, or your old G5 with, I believe it goes up to 8, and go to town. I mean, now you actually can take advantage of it, and so that's good.
Yeah, but what apps are going to be 64-bit that'll take the memory addressing beyond the 4 gigabyte limit?
It actually is just a recompile. So it's actually fairly simple and easy to do.
Is really going to matter. This is going to matter like in Photoshop.
Yeah.
After Effects.
Yeah.
And neither one are compliant yet with the Mac Pro, so it doesn't matter. Or Leopard.
Well, I guess they'll
run in Leopard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see it in, possibly Aperture.
Hopefully in Aperture, Final Cut, Motion.
Yeah, possibly
compressor.
All the Pro apps will go. Yes. Yes. Possibly all the.
Help us.
I know.
Compressor.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this. We have a segment today that we're going to spend about 10 minutes talking about Mac Pro versus Quad G5.
Yeah.
This is Celebrity Deathmatch 2006.
I don't think it's a deathmatch. I think it's a pretty clear situation. If you're going out and buying a new computer, you're pretty much going to have to buy a Mac Pro.
You know, actually though, Apple still is selling Quad G5s and Xserve G5s on their website.
Oh, are they really?
You can still buy the PowerMac G5 Quad.
Oh, that's good for
those. It's on the store. Well, here's the thing, you know, we're going to talk about this later. We want you to listen to about it later, but there's key reasons for this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah, so we don't know about this one yet. This has got to, you got to listen to the rest of the show to find out.
That's right. But we have a pretty cool lineup today, though, actually. We have Jim Matthews on. He is the creator, the CEO of Fetch Software. If you've ever used the program called Fetch,
mm-hmm.
the FTP program that's been around since, I don't know, OS 7?
OS 7, wow.
5? You think it's been a long time.
Wow.
Maybe earlier, maybe 6.5.
Wow, we're talking, you know, pre-dinosaur era.
Yeah, so we're going to have Jim on talking about the cool things with Fetch and what's going on with that and his thoughts on Leopard and now they've claimed there's FTP support built into Safari.
Oh,
okay, so we're going to see what this means for the Mac user and what their deals. We're going to have Arnie Ramirez on, the CEO of MCE Technologies, talking about upgrade pass for the new MacBook Pros because they just released a 160 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah,
and they got a brand new transmitter gig for your car for an iPod.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to see what's up with those cats, see what's going on with Arnie, what his thoughts are on the Mac Pro, because they're also an Apple authorized reseller of hardware. So see what his deal is and see what kind of requests they're getting. Is he having people still looking for? Because I know you can still get, now not brand new, but and I don't know what's in the reseller chain, but you can get PowerBook G4s still from Apple.
Ah.
Okay?
Nice.
Are people still buying this stuff because they have to run HyperCard, OS 9, Meeting Maker, and an old platform?
Quite so. The studios.
You never know. Interesting questions there. And then we're gonna have the Mac Pro versus the Quad G5 Celebrity Deathmatch 2006. And of course, the news with Dean Orlando. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Informal,
informative,
in front of the industry. Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, now universal binary for that Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, MacBook, iMac, or whatever else is running some kind of Intel processor type of thingy.
Yeah.
Or your traditional high-quality IBM PowerPC original processor on your original Mac.
Wow. Everything that every kind of Mac that's
anything supported. That runs OS 10, brother, it rocks on it. I think it still works fine with OS 9. A lot of guys run on OS 9 still.
Yeah, music studios and everything. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, a lot of cats are running, you know, Pro Tools 5.2. Something
in this very studio.
Yes. Mix 24 card 882 interface running OS 9, got 10 grand worth of plugins. What do you do?
Yeah, you don't upgrade every year.
You don't upgrade it because it works.
Yeah, it works and it costs so much.
People are still running Meeting Maker on OS 9.
Yeah.
Large institutions will serve.
Oh, yes.
Big stuff. So, cool stuff. Micromat, check them out. Micromat.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, the host of the Digital Production Buzz, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Philip, how are we doing today?
We are doing exceptionally well.
You know what I wanted to talk about today?
What's that?
Is this thing called Second Life. Isn't this some kind of online role-playing game? But I hear people are using this now as a collaborative workspace for filmmakers.
I've always sort of dismissed Second Life in my mind as being a place where people who have no life go to get a life.
Right.
And pretend they're somewhere they're not, someone they're
not.
Just
be called Get a Second Life.
Well, I kind of do, I think. I'd call it Haven't Got a Life, but that probably doesn't test so well. So we were doing some interviews at SIGGRAPH, and one of those interviews was a person for a product specialist from Second Life, from Linden Lab, who are the owners of Second Life. Well, Second Life is an online environment that is essentially built by the members of Second Life. So you go in there, you can build your own objects, you can create things that you can sell, and there is an entire economy going on in Second Life. We can use Linden dollars, and there is a US dollar to Linden dollar exchange rate, so you can buy Linden dollars and you can sell stuff and make money. There are people making a living on what they create and sell in Second Life.
Really?
That's the extent of it. It's quite a big economy. But for filmmakers, this product specialist was talking about the way he had used Second Life to pre-model and pre-visualize his ghost town-based story, and they built the entire ghost town in Second Life, and his other collaborators could all go into Second Life simultaneously into the same area and see what he was working on and offer suggestions, work on it, because it's all real-time. It's a real-time 3D world where you can move around and you can build things. You can stage the camera so you could actually, you know, track the camera, see what it would look like if we go through here and have all your sets and everything pre-visualized before you even start working. So a filmmaker that doesn't have great visualization skills could work with a designer or an architect to work in there to build the sets in advance, get a feel for what they look like. Then they'd have a really good brief to brief whoever is actually looking for locations or having to build the sets, far more so than if they tried to sketch it or tried to or do it any other way.
Now, they support different camera types and different lenses or anything like that, like some of the other visualization software does?
No, it doesn't. It's not that sophisticated. But on the other hand, it does support real-time 3D collaboration from anywhere around the world, which I don't see any others.
Wow. No, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so you can, I guess, like you said, you can make that 3D ghost town. You can walk around and shoot people.
Yep, and you can see a little bit of that in the video that we've done on Second Life at SIGGRAPH 06, where we talked with this product specialist and got generally just showed some of the things that what Eric Carle had actually created in Second Life, and out of primitives and some digital images that he'd taken in a real ghost town. And he just applied those to his digital images. And we talk about how it works in general and how it can be used for filmmakers.
Wow. This thing seems cool, but it seems like an incredible waste of time.
I think you could waste a lot of time. Second Life, you could waste a lot of time there. But there are 370,000, 71,000 people inhabiting that at the moment, which is a fairly significant...
Wait, 300? You said 378,000
people?
Yeah.
378,000, so this is huge. This is enormous. At any one time, or just online? Just that's the total number of members, and then there's...
That's the total number of residents. Yes, they call them residents, not members, but it's amazing. That's... So if you need to get a 3D collaborative workspace, there it is, all for you and all for free.
Wow.
If ever you cut to a movie using Final Cut Pro, and I'm sure some of our listeners do, and you wanted to brag about that, you know there is actually an official logo and guidelines from Apple so you can use your editor with Final Cut Pro logo in the credit roll.
Really? That's nice. That's really nice, because you see that with Avid, and you see that with the people that do the processing on films, you know, Color by Technicolor. You know, they'll go at the bottom of screens.
And where is this at? Is this buried somewhere deep in the Apple site, 25 layers deep?
Yeah, pretty much. Developer area, software and trademark licensing, which of course would be the first place I'd think of going with for the logo for Final Cut. But people can find it by going over to the OS X FAQ website and looking in the current news and finding the BuzzFeed and see the using the Final Cut Pro logo in your movie heading. And they can find the link there rather than troll through the Apple website.
So true, because the Buzz News is there.
The Buzz News is there.
Yes, it's cool stuff.
And if you've been working with Blackmagic DeckLink captured files and you wanted to, you've noticed a gamma shift when you're using them in Final Cut Pro 5.x, particularly if you captured with older drivers, like before DeckLink 4, we're like 5.5 or something now drivers. Well, there's a gamma shift that's a side effect, so you need to just download a free gamma correction filter from the Blackmagic Design website to correct for that. If you've been noticing that, you can do that.
That's pretty important because, you know, your colors will all be off if you do not update
your drivers. Yeah, I mean, gamma is kind of one of those weird things, because it doesn't change the black or the white, so it doesn't actually change the overall, theoretically, the overall brightness, but it does change the perception of brightness in there.
Well, it can also shift the colors, so it'll also make things look more white, washed out. It'll, it can either shift gray, it can shift individual colors. It depends upon what kind of effect it has. Usually it just shifts the gray, and so it creates a different curve across the images.
Yeah, but it's very important to get it matched, and if you're working with older Blackmagic Design drivers and need to bring them into Final Cut 5, you need to do that. And I think I mentioned, don't attempt to capture under QuickTime 6 and Final Cut 4, 5 and expect to use it in 5. You have to be very careful, or the audio will not come through correctly. There's some sort of incompatibility between the two versions of QuickTime, and if you're capturing in Final Cut 4, 5 under QuickTime 6, capture as stereo audio, otherwise you'll only get a single mono audio, mixed audio track when you go to the newer version of QuickTime and the newer Final Cut.
Wow, good safety tip.
It happens in mixed environments. Some people have to worry about that.
Here's one for you, Philip, since I brought this up. I've seen videos that people have done, and they add a lower third, some graphics. It looks like maybe this thing was done in motion, and I'm sure the graphic looked great when it was in motion. They add this thing into the Final Cut Pro timeline, and it's extremely alias. It's real chunky, blocky.
It's like Atari 2600.
Why? What did they do wrong? And how do people get around this kind of problem when they add graphics into a Final Cut Pro timeline and it doesn't alias it correctly? It just looks bad.
Well, sometimes you've got to check and see what Final Cut is really doing, because its preview to the screen once you render a lot of graphics is actually not really what you're going to see. So it's designed to be good out on the video monitor. So the first question is, well, what does it look like on a video monitor? And if it looks fine there, then the situation normal. That's the way it is.
Now, this is what I looked like. I actually saw this specific example that I'm thinking about was in a podcast. So let's say if you're not rendering out to an NTSC monitor where it's going to go on a DVD or a broadcast situation, and you're rendering this stuff and you're making this content for viewing on the web, and it looks completely like Legoville, what do you do then?
Well, it shouldn't. I'm not sure what they did wrong, because I've been doing on the SIGGRAPH videos for our video feed for the Buzz. We've been putting Boris Title 3D graphics on the front of it, and graphic, and they go through the DV export and then set up, make sure they're at high quality, and then I reshape them so that they don't get distorted in the transfer to iPod video, and they look fine. I mean, you know, I could make some wiser choices about outline scaling for going down in size, which I did in later videos, but no, there's nothing inherently that should go wrong. I mean, if they create them at the wrong size, if they created them too small and have to scale them up and then scale them down, it could look like that. Or if they've done something unwise with codecs, sometimes people see motion interlace artifacting that would cause them to get a combing effect on the moving video in their iPod if they don't deinterlace first.
I think that's the whole thing, is the whole deinterlacing thing, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Oh well,
they might have crudely deinterlaced, and that's not smart either.
No. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. You can listen to Philip's program at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We'll be right back.
morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDVV software to have. If you've created a cool movie, put it on a DVD disc so the whole family can watch. You can share it with your friends and family and everybody. But now you want to pull some of that content back off, bring it back into Final Cut Pro, your Avid Unity system, your Nitrous news editor, iMovie, whatever. Yep. Anything. Pull that stuff off and check it out. Very cool software. They got a brand new website. Go check it out. Cool stuff there. www.dvdxdv.com. Right now here with Andy Shallop, the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box graphic tip book. And he's here with his graphic tip of the week. Hello, Andrew. How are we doing today?
Great, Scott. I was, for the last few weeks, I think we've been talking about presets and setting up our workspace in each graphic design application. So we've talked about InDesign, and I showed you guys how to have sets of your tools so that you can always refer back to them. So if you're working on one particular thing or another, you've got your tools ready and they're ordered and everything. In Photoshop, on the other hand, things are a little bit different when it comes to your tools. There's sort of it's almost hidden. People often don't take advantage of this, but when you click on a tool in Photoshop CS2, you'll look in the upper left corner of the top of your screen. You'll see a little icon of the tool, and there's a little drop-down menu. In that drop-down menu, you can make presets. So, for instance, if I'm working in type, and that's what I really wanted to talk about, Photoshop is not the greatest thing for type, or at least it hasn't been up until this version. And, you know, you're working through all these different type styles and everything else, and you don't necessarily want to have to remember and go back through the steps of resetting your type and everything. You can make each one of these things a preset, and then just click on these little presets in that upper left-hand corner, and then your type is already set. So, for instance, if you're working on one headline or some sort of part of the graphic that says Franklin Gothic and it's 48-point type, you can set the toolbar to have just that one as a preset, and then the next time you have it in Minion 12-point type, you can preset that as well. It's very simple to do. What you do is you click on that little icon in the upper left, and then you'll find that there's that pull-out triangle menu.
Yeah.
You click on that.
Disclosure triangle, yep.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the word.
Yes.
Disclosure triangle. Disclosure triangle, exactly. We need one of those for government, don't we?
Full disclosure, this government.
The full disclosure, it has a drop-down menu right next to click the picture of the vice president or something.
Right, click on the disclosure triangle and it pops off
says,
a suitcase.
It says threat to national security, can't tell you.
Yeah.
Exactly. New tool preset, and there you go, and you get your full disclosure from the government. But that's essentially what you can do. You can set all these things up so that once you have a good set of them, it's just like working in InDesign where you're doing a magazine or something. When you're working through and you're designing something like that, you're really setting up style sheets, because style sheets are going to save you $1,000 a day just setting them up, so I know what my paragraphs look like, what my headlines, my subheads. Once you do it once and you're happy with it, you can set the style. It's just like in web design when you're doing a CSS style sheet. Again, style sheets are everything. That's really what you're paying the designer for, not just the production monkey stuff. You're actually setting it so that in the future you can go back and you can instantly change things and change them globally. So I would suggest people go through Photoshop, go through all the tools, and check your different uses. And so, for instance, for the type, find the typefaces that you're going to use. Click on the type tool, set the type, and then make it a preset. And then you'll see how fast your work goes.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I mean, like you said, the whole thing with...
You've got like 400 fonts in your system, and you just can't go through all of them. That's a good idea, yeah.
Sometimes it takes a half hour just scrolling through them.
Yeah, scroll through them, yeah.
Plus, it's a real tax on your system to display these fonts in real size. And I mean, that's another thing you can turn off in Word if you're
that's
so
true. Now, let's get that legislature to get that full disclosure.
Yeah. I want to know about Roswell. Hey, Andy, thank you so much there, buddy. That was great stuff. There you go, Andrew Shallot, the man. Check it out at shallot.com. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show was brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you're looking for a brand new, smoking crazy fast, dual processor, super 16 quad core, 18 terabytes of memory, check it out. Mac Pros over at mcetech.com. They got some great stuff. And later on, Arnie's going to be here with us talking about upgrades for MacBook Pros, for MacBooks, for all kinds of cool stuff. We're certainly going to get the inside look at what you can do to these brand new cool pieces of Intel hardware from the mothership.
Yeah, and they really are a lot of options to play with.
Oh, I
mean, they're really just loaded.
It's fun, and you can do it yourself. You don't need tools. You can just clicky and pull and pop and
yeah, and not actually and not just rip your knuckles and shred, you know, just skin
come on.
Off.
You don't like sticking your fingers in like a Quattro 650 and peeling the skin off them from all the tin foil? Come on.
Yeah, they should just have like, you know, blood donations on the side for all the blood you lose from pulling those things out. You know?
But it is cool stuff. We're going to have Arnie with us here later in the second hour, so stay tuned for that. That's MCE Tech. That's M-C-E-T-A-C-H, MCETech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks for the week. Hello, Sammy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Lots of goodies today. Actually, some that are very specific to the iPod and some that are not. First up is a company called AB Tech, and if you look for it on the web, you need to go to abtech2.com. So it's abtech2.com. They make a wicked cool RF remote for the iPod, and they make them for every iPod that exists, the old 9-pin iPods and the brand-new 30-pin connector, or we call them docking iPods. What's unique about this, Scott and Brad, is that it's water-resistant. It works up to 150 feet. Their RF technology is truly outstanding. These guys come from the RF technology. They're just wizards with radio-controlled devices, but they've come out with a whole line of RF remotes. One of them is called the iJet. Now, you can get all these products from J&R and Target, so go to J&R and check it out. It's called the iJet. Really cool. You dock your iPod, and you've got a iPod remote in your pocket, whether it's black. They come out with a white one. It works. It's fantastic. 150 feet away from your iPod. So you can plug it into your stereo, walk away, and control it in, you know, the end of the house.
The key question is, does it allow you to navigate the iPod better than the original Apple remote that comes with the iPod?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. This is light years ahead. If anyone uses a lot of remotes like we all do, this is the way to go, which is RF. It's $34.99. It's available today in black and white, called the iJet Wireless iPod Remote. The other one they make is called the iJet Nano, and not only is it a RF remote for the Nano, it's an FM receiver. It comes all together, so it snaps in the back. The little remote has a little area to store. The Nano fits and slides into a little cradle. Comes in black and white, or white. It's $54.99, and it does FM wireless. So through your car, you can play your music through your wireless, through your FM transmitter, and it's an RF remote as well. So you can use it either or, and it's $54.99. It's called the iJet Nano, and they are just coming out with a two-way remote. We'll have that probably in about a month, and it allows you to actually view your contents of your iPod on your remote,
and
it's RF.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's really cool.
Several companies are actually coming out with two ways. Our friends at Keith's Band have announced theirs, but no one has shipped theirs. Anyway, check it out at abtech2.com. These guys make some great technology for RF remotes. That's what they're known to do. And they're sold all throughout the country, Target, J&R Music, a lot of things. Just check it out. It's great.
Sammy, thank you so much. There you go. Sam Levin's Cool Mac Picks for the week. Check it out, InsideMacRadio.com. Next up here, we're going to have Jim Matthews from Fetch Software talking about the very cool, the legendary FTP software for your Mac called Fetch. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by FirmTech, the official sponsor of the Inside Mac Radio program. Very cool stuff for your SATA external and internal storage solutions. You can check them out at FirmTech. That's F-I-R-M-T-E-K, FirmTech.com. Right now, we are joined by Jim Matthews from Fetch Software. How you doing, Jim?
Excellent. Thanks.
Good. Give our listeners a background if they don't know that. I don't know how people would not know, but you guys created a piece of software called Fetch, and this has been around since, God, what, OS 6 something?
Yeah, 4.1, I think.
4.1? That was way better than we would have guessed. So that was, what, running on a 68000 00?
Yep, exactly.
With, 16K of RAM?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The way I keep track of it is that my older son was a baby, and he's now got a driver's license. So it's been a while.
So give us a little background. Tell us about Fetch.
So Fetch originated at Dartmouth College, which is where I was working at the time in the late 80s. And Dartmouth was a real pioneer in networking Macs. All the students had Macs at that time, and they had a network with a port for every pillow before anybody had heard of the Internet. And people needed to move files around, and they had lots of different kinds of mainframe computers, and the only protocol that would talk to all of them was FTP. But people don't like having to type all those FTP commands, so we thought we should make a Mac program that gave it a decent user interface.
So they were like they were using TCP/IP on the Mac at that time, really.
Yeah, to give you some idea of what it was like in those days, the routers that held the network together were actually built at Dartmouth. You couldn't go order them; you had to make your own. So they were really on the bleeding edge.
Wow, what were they using to connect? Was it AppleTalk, that little serial thing, to the serial interface to sling together?
Exactly. Yeah,
oh,
LocalTalk,
wow.
The RS-232 out of the back of those original Macs. Can network 200 kilobits a second or so, which is nothing compared to gigabit Ethernet, but you could get a lot of work done.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's when our buddy Alan Oppenheimer actually made that whole protocol deal and did Apple Talk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when Dartmouth actually was rolling this stuff out, they were sending their engineers out to Apple to talk to Alan and people like that because they were building a bigger network than Apple had ever use their protocols on, so they got to run into things.
That's quite a long history. So what are you doing with the new version of Fetch? What's some of the new features that we can get in this new program?
Yeah, fast forwarding to the present. I spun Fetch out of Dartmouth 5 years ago in 2001 and have been working since then and now with a couple of coworkers on keeping it up to date with the latest stuff from Apple. So it's a universal binary. We had universal binary the day that the Intel iMacs shipped at Macworld this year. And our latest version, 5.1, has a dashboard widget for Mac OS X Tiger, and extensive automator support. We think it's got the most extensive automator support of just about any app we've seen.
Mm. Now, automator, for people aren't familiar with it, it actually is a way of making one program control another. And automator is very powerful. You can chain together multiple programs to do multiple different actions. And it's very nice. What are the kind of things that I can drive with automator through your software?
So the thing that we thought was so great about automator was this ability to chain things together. And so we provide 11 different automator actions that work with fetch. And so you can do things like save a workflow where when you go to the print dialog in any Mac application, there'll be an item in the menu there where you can say print this to fetch, and it'll save a PDF, run fetch, tell fetch to upload the file. Once the file's uploaded, you could add an action so that fetch would set the permissions of the file or move it to a different folder on the server, create a report, tab delimited report to put in a database about this upload that you just did. And
so give us a typical example of how someone would use that feature.
I use Fetch and Automator to do some sort of grungy manual tasks that otherwise I would have to do by myself. So I've got a Dropbox folder on a web server that people put files in order to test Fetch, but it fills up with stuff that I don't care about anymore. So with Automator, you can set up a workflow that connects to that server every day, gets a list of all the files there, looks for the ones that are too big or too old or fitting any sort of criteria you want, and delete those or move them into another folder where you can process them later. And that just happens automatically.
Wow. So this thing, you just have this process on Automator running in the background, and it goes in and cleans up that little Dropbox that you created on that remote server.
Right. And you can tailor it exactly to what you want to happen, which is the real power of this kind of stuff that's coming from Apple.
Hey, Jim, what do you think about this stuff they talked about at the keynote at WWDC about these new features in Leopard, and then they had talked about some type of FTP being built into Safari or something? I didn't catch all of it exactly. I don't remember exactly what Steve said. Does this have any effect on what you guys are doing, or is this sort of just enhance what you guys are doing and been doing for decades?
Yeah, they didn't actually, or at least I didn't catch anything in the keynote, and nothing I heard from Apple people at the conference fleshed that out. I had seen that on a rumor site before the conference started. We would welcome something like that because my sense is that when Apple does something like that, it's like when they put basic RSS reading into Safari and the sales of NetNewsWire took off. It formed a lot of people who had never heard of RSS, that there was this thing out there. I don't think that Apple's likely to get in the business of making a dedicated FTP client. I don't think they'd find that all that interesting. And so the people that really want a tool that's dedicated to file transfer are still going to use something like Fetch.
So if I'm a web server, if I'm developing a website, I think you mentioned earlier, I was just kind of going back to this, there's a print to option, so I can actually generate something on the fly and have that uploaded to a website?
This is actually something that Apple's built into the printing system in Mac OS X and sort of joined it together with Automator. So in Automator, you save a workflow as a printing plugin, and then
comes up like a little virtual printer in my printer list, drop down list.
The user interface is a little bit different. It's where the there's a drop down menu that lets you save as PDF, and instead of choosing save as PDF, you can choose any workflow that you've saved as a print plugin. So it could be upload to my web server.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So this is somebody that has a lot of documents they want to suddenly get onto a site. They can just print it to Automator, and then it can, in the Automator action, trigger, save it, and then upload it through Fetch.
Exactly, yeah.
So suddenly just content just suddenly appears on the other side. When just from, you started a print from your word processor program like Pages and or Illustrator and or maybe even Keynote, and on the other side it's suddenly on the site.
Yep. And you can extend it because of the way we made the Automator actions so that they can sort of stack, that you can have it upload it and then generate a little report about what was uploaded and when, and then, you know, email that report to somebody so they know that there are documents that have been uploaded to their site, for instance. And we get a lot of our customers work in prepress and video production and these businesses where they're constantly trading big files, and they also want to be told when there's something that's arrived or they want some confirmation that their file actually did get uploaded. So they really like these features.
Yeah, that really does sound pretty good. I mean, so can I also do this with a movie somehow? Just have the movie generate, you know, it comes into this one little folder, goes through an automator script, and then wham, it shows up on the website and then emails people that this new video is up on my site. Say I'm a filmmaker and I've got a new cut of my film.
Exactly. So for that, you would, instead of doing it as a printing plugin, because the movie software doesn't typically print movies, instead of doing that, you would just save an automator action as what they call a Finder plugin, and then you can just select something in the Finder, choose that action that you just saved, and boom, you know, off it goes.
Hey, Jim, how do we get more information on Fetch Softworks, what you guys are doing with the FTP software, get a hold of you if there's a demo, all this kind of cool stuff? Where's all this available at?
So our website is fetchsoftworks.com. It's all one word, fetchsoftworks.com. And right on the front page, we've got a tour that takes you through the major features of Fetch. Download a free trial copy try it for 15 days. And if you're in education or a charity, we offer licenses for free.
Hey, that's very cool. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Great stuff going on there. It's so cool to see the history of this software and how long you guys have been working on this stuff. So this is cool. Check it out. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want to get the coolest magazine, the largest number one magazine for imaging in the world, and find out about all the cool stuff going on digital imaging, even film still. There's still articles on there about film stuff. If you're still shooting film, but if you're in the digital imaging, if you're into this stuff, you need to check out Pop Photo. Check them out at popphoto.com. So that's very cool stuff. You know, the Fetch guys have been around forever. They have the traditional standard, you know, UI for a FTP client. But
yeah.
It's amazing. OS, what did you say, 4.5?
4.5, yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's really early on.
I was getting ready for him to say, I was around at OS 1. Whoa.
Whoa, that was
there
before.
Was no such thing.
Yeah, really.
There was an FTP. There was no such thing as that protocol.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, if you have that long of a history, you know that you know really understand what customers need and how to deliver an application that
you know what's scary, though, is I remember that stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
I remember those days like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I remember my email address is like 14762.1423 something at CompuServe.com.
Yeah, we didn't have any ones and zeros when I was little.
No. No, it's crazy. You look back at that. It's only been, you know, not even that long ago. And
yeah.
The internet, there was no internet. It was all text. It was DOS.
Yeah.
It was all text.
It was very,
very different. CompuServe was cool.
Well, you know, it really it goes back to the whole history of the web. I mean, it really exploded when Tim Berners-Lee at CERN came up with the web browser, which was actually running on OS X when it was called Next Step.
Right.
So it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, I mean, I remember programming in that environment. And so it is kind of funny how it just sort of comes back in circular that when somebody comes up and makes something really easy to use, then it suddenly explodes. Before, because the internet goes way, way back. I mean, about 1969, I think, is the first Usenet type of development. I should know all the history of this, but I will get it wrong if I remember it from off the top of my head.
Yeah, just cool that these guys have been around that long doing this stuff, and it's great. They're still in business. And,
yeah.
And they took the thing from a, you know, institutional type deal now as a private software gig. And
yeah.
You know, it's great software, and, you know, you should support these cats that have been around for a long time. It's a great piece of FTP client.
Yes. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, it's not very expensive either, you know.
Yes, but in our second hour,
We do. We have some cool stuff in our second hour. We have Arnie Ramirez, the CEO of MCE Tech. We're going to talk about upgrade paths for the new Apple Intel-based hardware, even for G4s, G5s.
You know, yeah, it's so funny because if you go to the Apple store now and you try to configure a Mac Pro, there's like 1.5 million options that just show up. I mean, do you want this, that, or the other thing? It's huge. I mean, the amount of things you can stuff into this system is enormous.
Yeah, I'm going to get a Mac Pro, but I'm going to wait, I think, to the next rev.
I kind of feel that way, too.
I honestly, to tell you the truth, I just ordered a G5 quad.
Well, you really can't go wrong with that kind of system either. You know, that's
except I might have to install a bigger circuit breaker in that part of the office because the thing pulls 16 amps.
Yeah, it's like an electric chair when you flip the switch, all the lights dim.
But the thing is, it's still After Effects, Photoshop. These kind of pieces of software need this stuff, and it's not out yet.
And then it goes back to the whole thing about it is that do I really want to upgrade all my software applications, or do I just want to use what I have and just keep going?
Yeah, I mean, we have everything that's current, and a lot of it's dual binary stuff, except some of the Adobe product. But really, it's I looked at some encoding and some speed tests that are now all over the web, stuff from Macworld Magazine. Macintouch had some stuff. There's an Engadget had some cat.
Don't give it away.
Rob Art Morgan did some stuff. Yeah. And
don't give it away.
We're going to talk about it later next hour. But
it's
a cool smoking machine. It depends on what you're using it for. It's everything has its purpose. It's like a tool. You have more than one set of wrenches in a toolbox. You have open-end wrenches, you have box-end wrenches, you have 6-point, you have 12-point, you have flare nut wrenches. They're all made for a specific thing. So you have a tool that's made for a specific use, and what we're doing, I felt the G5 Quad was that tool for that specific use.
Yeah, but you'll have to find out if that's right for you.
And I like stuff that's water-cooled with hoses. Just heat. I like electricity. I like the speed, the meter spin. Either way, you're listening to Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things about the Macintosh. You name it, it's here. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dina Orlando. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, FirmTech, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, The Digital Production Buzz, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. You can check out all these cool cats over at InsideMacRadio.com. We've had a pretty cool show today.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we had Jim on from Fetch Software, the originator, the cats that made the whole FTP gig back when they didn't have routing hubs. They made their own hardware. They were like, they were making the internet.
Yeah.
And the only way these computers could talk to each other was through FTP. Because there was no HTTP.
Yeah, and at 200 kilobits per second. that's pretty slow, but amazing. You know, very, very, you know, pre-Ethernet days for the Macintosh. Really great stuff.
That was cool to talk to those guys. Glad to see they're still around and kicking. One of our early, long-time Mac developer friends, and it's cool to see someone support the platform that long.
Oh yeah, to stick around through all of the bad years and the good years.
Yeah, and I'm surprised now, and it's going to be very interesting to see now that we have an Intel chip base and an Intel code set on the new Mac hardware. Are we going to see all these PC heathens jumping out of the woodwork wanting to hop on the platform to try to make software now? You're a developer.
Yes.
If I got a bunch of code sitting here from my horrid Windows box, okay? And I'm just fed up with it, man. I'm done with this deal. I'm bailing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw away 95% of the market and sell stuff to 5%. But, you know, I don't want to deal with the hassles anymore. And I want to develop my software. I got this code, and I want to make it work on the Mac. Can I just make a switch, or am I completely hosed and I got to write from scratch and might as well take my old code and just throw it in the can?
It depends upon how that code is laid out.
I wrote it in C++. I'm a traditional code head.
No, there's no way you can actually say, you know, that.
Because it's not like the old days when you had the Macromedia. Mm-hmm. what was that deal? Not Macromedia, but the guys that had the code software that worked with OS 9 and previously, mm-hmm. and they just discontinued it. What was the coding environment before Apple came out with XTools and all that
code
stuff?
Warrior.
Code Warrior. MetroWorks.
Yeah, MetroWorks
is what I'm thinking, okay?
Yeah.
That was able to take C++ code and C mm-hmm. code and make it and compile it for the Mac deal.
Oh,
that don't work no more.
Well, you still can. You can definitely code C and C++, and you know, I hope nobody's tuning out on this one, but yeah, it's very possible to take any code and make it dual platform or multi platform. In fact, you know, a typical example is a lot of these open source software runs on Linux and runs on the Mac with just a little recompile option.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Not to get too geeky there, but it's just cool to see these cats around. I just hope that, and I think it's good for the platform that more people want to code for and make more software because it makes the experience better.
I think it definitely opens the door when you know that you're very familiar with it. You go, oh, Intel chip over there? Okay, well, I could kind of do that. I could kind of figure things out. You're not starting from left field somewhere. You're starting from something that's very, very similar. And then you can actually, it's one of those machines that you can dual boot. You can develop, switch it, reboot it and switch it and develop on Windows XP and then reboot it and develop for the Mac. So you really only need one machine to support both platforms.
Right.
It's a nice thing,
It is cool. Cool stuff, It's getting there. It's not the poor makers of the hardware for the PC because, they have such a horrid operating system.
Yeah.
And there's so many lines of nasty code. And, now the deal is that we hear with this deal with Vista is basically a new UI wrapped over the same lines of garbage.
Yes. It's the same viruses, same problems,
the thing
same
is
security
that,
issues,
supposedly
everything.
Supposedly this whole Longhorn / Vista / who knows what it's going to be when the stuff ships, if it ever does ship.
Yes.
It was supposed to be all new lines of code. Fresh. Mm-hmm. This was fresh. Not the same old moldy cheese with the top scraped off.
Yeah.
Fresh.
It's just a bad car with a new fresh coat of paint on it is all it is.
You know what it's called in the automotive industry? It's called an S&P. Steam and paint. Okay? You steam it off, you blow a fresh coat of paint on it. It's brand new. Trust me, dude. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058. Or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio Show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine, the high-end publication for high-end photographers. If you're doing real high-end digital photography, film photography, or just want to know about what the masters in the art are doing, check this out at AmericanPhoto.com. Very cool stuff there. Right now we're joined by Arnie Ramirez. Arnie is the CEO of MCE Technologies. Arnie, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem, buddy. Now, we wanted to talk to you today about a couple things. Let's get into first, you guys just announced and released a brand new wireless transmitter, iPod holder, all-in-one car goodie. Tell us about it.
That's right. Actually, Friday we did the announcement, and it's actually shipping as of today. And it's what we call the next generation iPod car accessory because it actually does everything you could possibly want it to do in your car. Number one, it's an auto charger. Number two, it's a very powerful FM transmitter. And number three, it's a flexible dock, meaning it actually holds your iPod in place exactly where you want it. These are all rolled into one device. It looks like it belongs in the interior of a car. It doesn't look like it's a kind of pieced together from parts, an FM transmitter with a cable to a auto charger, as you might see in other products. But this one is all one device. Say it's about as cool or cooler than your iPod. So
this thing is pretty cool looking. It's slick. It's called the iTube 201.
Correct.
It works with nanos and 5Gs and...
Well, when you say it has a powerful FM transmitter, is this more powerful than your average? Like, I mean, this is like a much stronger. Like, it's not, you know, it's going to pump out a more signal and have less interference.
Less interference. That's correct. The thing is, with most other FM transmitters, is that they generally use an off-the-shelf chipset. The way it was designed, and the power that it gives, generally, if you're in a metropolitan area, is actually kind of weak. And I know a lot of people have complained regarding FM transmitters in the past, but this particular one that's used in the iTube, it was designed by the company that created the iTube, and so they've done some tweaks and things like that. It generates enough power that you can get a clear signal while not going over, regulation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the selectability? Because one of the things is that, you know, if you're driving along, you have to constantly change the station just a little bit because you'll get different stations.
Right. Well, the good thing about this, and, we live here in very close to Los Angeles, so we've tested it through L.A.
Oh, yeah, because L.A. is, clear spot on that FM dial.
Absolutely. So this thing is actually powerful enough that, you know, I can leave it on one station here, and I'm basically fine from almost San Diego up to northern L.A., and which is pretty cool. That just kind of tells you about the power of it. Now, this one station doesn't have any other stations on it, but there are stations nearby, just above and below it, that are powerful enough that on another FM transmitter, you might get the bleed through, and then you'll get the interference. But on this particular FM transmitter in the iTube 201, you don't get that at all.
Yeah, one of the things that can happen with FM is that it can bounce off of something and change, have the frequency shift a little bit, and so you're actually getting a station off access.
Correct.
And so that's that. By having that extra power, you'll be able to just blow that out.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And we actually encourage people, find a station that's not necessarily clear, but that has a weak station on it, and then turn on the iTube 201. You're going to be amazed. It's going to basically take over your radio.
That's cool. Now, Arnie, this is shipping today. How much does this little beauty cost?
This thing retails for $74.99.
That's very affordable. You know, it's just a price of a regular dock, actually.
Weren't we somewhere and you bought... No, I was with Bruce from...
Oh, yeah.
I was with Bruce from...
Linda.com.
Linda.
Yeah.
And we were just impulse shopping, and he bought this thing from Monster.
Oh,
Monster charger and transmitter for his iPod, and it just didn't have the power, and it was more than... $74.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. We definitely price this to be just under our competition, and once people get their hands on these, hopefully we're anticipating the word's really going to get out. Like I said, we're just starting with this product as of Friday, shipping today. As you can see, you know, the style of it and everything is almost totally different from anything you've seen, basically, for a car.
Yeah, and it's what's interesting, too, with it is, you know, it's long enough because all the new cars have the cigarette lighters or the cigarette lighter or whatever you want to call it, 12-volt port, very low on the dash on the floor in front of the shifter.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this thing has the length to bring the iPod up in the correct spot.
That's exactly right.
Now, you might not want to stick this thing into, like, you know, a 68 Cadillac in the dash because it'd be, like, up in the headliner.
You could always bend it down and tilt it around so it's like, you know.
But no, really, for newer vehicles, I'd say in the past 5 or 6 years or mm-hmm. anything from 2000 on, this thing, like, lays right in perfect.
They're pretty low, yeah, exactly. And the other good thing is, even if your cigarette lighter adapter or accessory power outlet
is a little bit higher. Yeah.
This thing, it's so flexible that you can just basically put it exactly where you want it. You can bend it so that it's going to actually come out and not be so high.
That rocks. Now, Arnie, let's talk about, we got brand new Mac Pros out now. We have MacBook Pros. You guys have 160-gigabyte hard drive, you know, an upgrade for a MacBook Pro.
Right.
Is this hard to put in, or is this something I got to have a engineering degree to put in, or is this pretty easy that I
can
just...
Yeah, can I just follow
pop
the
it in? I know on the MacBook, it's pretty easy to pop the battery out, pull a couple screws, and the drive just yanks out with a little piece of plastic.
That's right. On the MacBook, it's a piece of cake. The MacBook Pro, yeah, you can do it yourself. Even you, Scott, I'm pretty sure you could do it.
Oh, well, cool, then. If I can handle it, then anybody can.
You can do it. 99% of the population can also do it.
There we go.
Just kidding. No, actually, we supply it with instructions and actually the little Torx tools you need to do that yourself. And it's actually fairly simple, believe it or not. It's not that big of a deal. Some screws on the bottom and then on the top. And where your keyboard is kind of pops up, and then the drive's right there. Replace it, put it back together, and you're basically done. So, yeah, we definitely encourage people to go ahead and do it themselves. It's really not that big of a deal.
And then I guess, too, with the new Mac Pros, you guys have 16x dual-layer DVD burners that'll pop in.
Very perceptive, Scott. You're exactly right.
Oh, I am.
So I can put this in my new Mac, because that was the problem with the Mac Pros, that they shipped with a really slow DVD burner.
Exactly. Well, I think he's talking about, the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I've got a MacBook Pro. There's the effectively.
I was talking Mac Pro.
The Mac Pros.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I was thinking MacBook Pros. But this is for the MacBook. This is for the Mac. There's too many different Mac Pro.
What are we talking about?
It's the power.
What's
Mac
up with this naming convention? We'll talk about that later in our celebrity death shootout.
But so I can drop this into to the Power Mac replacement.
That Scott's talking about the Mac Pro 16X dual layer and double layer drives that we have. Yeah, those are perfect for the Mac Pros. We're actually just getting our Mac Pros in today to test all of our stuff and make sure everything is going to be working properly.
And then, of course, hard drives and everything else. So, Arnie, if they have a question for you, where do they go to find out more information about upgrading their Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, MacBook, or whatever is going on?
www.mcetech.com.
Hey, Arnie, thank you so much for the information. Great stuff there, and we'll look forward to more stuff from MCE Tech to make our Mac Pros smoking fast.
Exactly.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, take care, man.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and want to find out all the cool tips on making your Macintosh happy, from InDesign, Go Live, Dreamweaver, you name it, check these cats out. They got a cool mail list. CreativePro.com. Right now we have in studio with us Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News Program. Hi, Dina. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. There will be no keynote speech this year at Apple Expo in Paris, which is Europe's largest Mac-focused show. The show organizers, Reed Expositions France, has confirmed the lack of keynote by stating simply, there will be no keynote at this year's show. There have only been a few times when Steve Jobs didn't appear at the expo, in 2004 when he was recovering from surgery, and last year, though he did speak with journalists and introduced the iPod Nano. This could be Apple's way of protesting the French government. One thing for sure, it isn't because they aren't doing well. Apple has seen significant market shares in France in the last few years. Another survey shows that Apple, once again, is proving to be a leader. According to the latest annual American Consumer Satisfaction Index, Apple leads its competitors of durable goods, scoring 83% compared to the PC industry's overall score of 77%. Apple's score actually rose this year by 2.5 points, placing it in the top 15% of all companies tested in the ACSI. The PC industry's overall 77% score is a 4-point increase from last year, and it is the highest score since 1974. According to the ACSI, slipping customer service has been a problem, and even though it's trailing Apple by a wide margin, the more serious challenge may come from the improvement of HP and the smaller PC brands. For PCs, most of the improvement is in product quality. Service quality is also improving, but it is almost 10% below the average, thanks in part to customer frustrations with PC call centers. Office workers in the UK have made owning an iPod the ultimate status symbol. Macworld UK reported this week that a recent poll that was conducted by recruitment specialists of Office Angels, iPods, mobile phones, and sushi are the latest must-haves for UK office workers. The response was so strong, in fact, that Office Angels actually came up with a name for people in love with these gadgets. They called them gossips, which stands for gadget-obsessed, status-symbol, infatuated professionals. The upcoming generation may think the iPod is a status symbol as well, as a new survey shows that 64% of 13 to 17-year-old teenagers want an iPod as part of their back-to-school supplies. The poll queried 500 teenagers commissioned in July by ShopLocal.com. They found that teens just aren't tech-hungry, but also brand-conscious. Brian Hand, who is CEO of ShopLocal.com, which is a national web-to-store comparison shopping site, said among some of the biggest searches are for MP3 players, iPod specifically, and then cell phones. Of those who responded that they would most want an MP3 player for the new school year, 97% cited iPod as the preferred brand. The Extra Time Study Support Center at Everton FC's Goodison Park Stadium has come up with an amazing way to keep students interested in learning. Invest in Macs. Macworld UK reported this week that the center that offers IT resources to children and offers school time lessons and after-school sessions had been experiencing an increasing dropout rate, which led it to consult with teachers and students to develop a strategy to keep kids coming back. The answer? Buy lots of Apple kits. It seems to be working already, since the center manager, Abigail Williams, said that having Macs has made a difference just by looking at the register. The center opened in May 2001 and hosted 8,000 students since the launch, but it was a Windows-only shop. They decided to buy Macs because they realized that widening the available subjects taught would help children learn. And the story claims that half the center's computers are now Macs.
Wow, that's some smoking cool news, Dina. So you guys stay tuned. We're going to have more here coming up in the next segment. We're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program. You can find out more information about the Daily News Program at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to go if you want to keep your Macintosh fresh, clean, smelling good, healthy, and updated, all them happy things. Check them out at MacUpdate.com, the place for software updates. Get in, get out quick, not 14 pages to click through, just a nice, fast, and efficient way. And if you're a developer, Mac Update is now hosting files for developers for free. So check them out. Pretty cool cats over there. Joe Mueller, check them out. MacUpdate.com. Right now we're back with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program. And Dina's got more smoking hot news for the week. Let's go, Dina. What's up?
Well, this week I actually found out why March of the Penguins was such a big hit. It all comes down to two moms and a podcast. Two suburban women in Washington, D.C. have figured out a way to stay at home and make a lot of cash. They created their own podcast. CBS News reported this week that MommyCast is making the two women podcasting's biggest stars. The show lets an internet audience, which is estimated to be in the hundreds of thousands, listen in on kitchen counter chat between two moms. For instance, the mommies went to see a movie about penguins with their husbands and told the listeners how great it was. And to show you just how powerful these two women are, when March of the Penguins became a mega hit, the film's distributor credited them for the movie's success, saying one out of every four tickets sold was because of MommyCast. Ever since then, advertisers like Dixie Cups have been coming to their door, and in came the money. But according to the moms, it's all about fun. Apple released Bootcamp 1.1 Beta this week. The latest release of the company's software enables Intel-based Macs to run Windows XP. The company notes Bootcamp Beta contains many updates and is intended for all new and previous Bootcamp Beta users. It includes support for the latest Intel-based Mac computers. It offers easier partitioning by using presets for popular sizes. It has the ability to install Windows XP on any internal disk, and it comes with iSight camera support, support for built-in microphones, and right-click when you press the right-hand Apple key on Apple keyboards. Bootcamp also has improved keyboard support that includes delete, print screen, number lock, and scroll lock keys. Analysts don't seem to be too worried about Apple's stock options investigation. They're saying the upcoming hearing before NASDAQ listing qualifications panel shouldn't have much impact on the upcoming product releases the company may be planning. A week ago, Apple revealed that it would have to restate its historical financial statements to record non-cash charges for compensation expense relating to past stock option grants. In addition, the company said it would delay filing a required quarterly financial report with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for its fiscal quarter that ended July 1, 2006, as it continued the investigation of stock option irregularities. And that prompted Apple to request a hearing before the NASDAQ Listing Qualifications Panel to respond to a former notice from the stock exchange that the company was not in compliance with the filing requirements for continued listing. According to analyst Charles Wolf, Apple will try to clear this up as quickly as possible. He said they don't want this distraction for the iPod introduction. But the director of analysis for market research firm NPD Group, Ross Rubin, said the financial management of the company runs independently of product development. He feels that the impact on products as being irrelevant. He said Apple has a very strong track record, and that's what's really important to institutional investors. Radio Disney has announced that its programming is now available via streaming live broadcasts on the iTunes Radio Tuner. Radio Disney is a 24-hour kid-driven radio network that is syndicated on over 50 stations in the U.S. and in the U.K., Japan, and most of South America. The station can be heard in the top 40/pop section in the iTunes Radio Tuner.
Well, Dina, thank you so much. That was very cool news for the week.
My pleasure.
Good stuff there. You can find out more information on Dina's daily newscast over at InsideMacRadio.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, we're going to have a little chat about the Mac Pro. We'll be right back.
Hi. Thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was, working on the final version of the annual report, when boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio show. You can send these guys any kind of files, doesn't matter. These are real ink on paper, traditional offset printers. Very cool stuff. Check them out, printingforless.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, we had...
The unveiling. Of the new... Mac Pro.
Yes, the new Mac Pro. Now the new Mac Pro.
Yes.
You're a heavy consumer of the Intel Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've drunk the Kool-Aid. Yeah.
You've drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm there.
What's your thoughts on it? I want to know what you think as a developer, as a cat that's into video and photography, audio.
You know, just going on the numbers alone, if there was no other software involved in it, the numbers look very good. I mean, you're really getting a great deal on a system that now includes 4 processors, where before it was much more expensive to get a 4-quad, quad G5 system. If you go on the expandability and functionality, you got a system that can now take 4 individual hard drives. And so now you have double the capacity internally in your system, or you can basically... you can also RAID 3 drives together, RAID maybe 2 drives together, and use one as a, to use maybe the new Time Machine feature to dump to the mirroring RAID system. So there's a lot of really nice things. All of the upgrade options are very accessible. You just pop off the case, and you can pop out the individual drives and swap them yourself with no screws or no hardware required. Even down to the card slots now, they have actually little thumb screws on them. So you can actually twist out the card and pull one out yourself, which means you don't even have to have a screwdriver for that. And the graphics cards now are double wide slots. So you'll look at, and the RAM is now accessible as an independent plug-in board. So just looking at that and just the raw horsepower of the system, it looks very, very good. However... the problem is when you start looking at software, that's where things start to change. And so we have some numbers that are being published right now. which shows some interesting results.
So let's get to that. I mean, there's no doubt that the hardware rocks. Very cool design. Lots of storage backplane. Direct backplane to access on the drives. That's very cool.
Yes.
Very similar to our friends over at FirmTech. What a coincidence. there's no doubt about that. The hardware rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. They read it. They use the same enclosure that I'm guessing the thoughts are on the enclosure reuse of the same design. Is I guess they want people to think it's the same good old killer Macintosh.
Well, I think
the
thing,
same power
I
as the G5.
I think the thing about it is that the case is large. I mean, one of the things about it is that if you've already built out your studio, you already have all of these. This you've already accepted the form factor as a large form factor and one that's very difficult to carry on a plane without getting basically you're going to get charged $50 each way if you bring one on the airlines. You've already accepted all the issues with the form factor. Why not keep it? Because you can actually fit a lot more things into that case now that you have the extra space because of the lower power and lower cooling requirements of the new processors.
Yeah.
It's quite good, yeah.
I know it doesn't pull 3,000 amps like the quad did.
Yeah.
I mean, they pulled it was like 12 or 14 amp box.
It's huge. Even the power cord for the quads is like this enormous cable, you know. It will pop a circuit breaker if you don't have it on a, you know, on a separate dedicated line.
Yeah, now let's talk about, there's an article out earlier this week at camcorderinfo.com called The Indie Dispatch. What does the Mac Pro mean for indies? Of course, we go to WWDC and all these cool guy events, but mm-hmm. you go more than I do personally down to the Los Angeles, Hollywood, the real Final Cut Pro user group gig with Grady Fletcher.
Yeah,
with Michael Horton.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're ingesting this a lot, okay? Because that's your business.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this means for the Mac Pro for guys that are independent video producers? Guys that are doing, post shop, what does this mean for the video cat?
I think it depends upon what type of software platforms you're working with. These guys work with everything from the Final Cut Studio to After Effects to Flame to Photoshop, everything. There's a lot of software in your mix that may not be, you might have to run into Rosetta. There may not be full universal binaries for it. And I think that's where you have to be careful. That's where you have to say, you know, do I know I'm going to get the same performance out of running this system under Rosetta? And can I live with it? I mean, that's the big question.
Right. Now I haven't looked. Did they actually have Shake as universal binary now?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so it probably takes effect of, you know, the use of all the cool new Intel processing power in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we have Photoshop, After Effects, and all the other Adobe apps that currently run on the Mac platform.
Yeah, even things like Dreamweaver and Fireworks can run incredibly slow on the Intel platforms. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it does run it's not every single operation. It's just certain operations are much, much slower.
Now, then again, I guess, too, that we have so much processing power in the new said Mac Pro box that even though if it runs under Rosetta, it still should be pretty snappy.
No,
because
that's the
thing. You would think that, hey, this thing smokes.
No,
so it should be fast.
No, that's not the thing. That thing I found is that it's very nonlinear. You get into some operations and it can take a long time under Rosetta. And so there's not always a linear one-to-one that you would see with running things natively. I mean, and in fact, even you know, the other thing that comes out of these test results is that you do see inconsistency where the new Mac Pros aren't as fast as you'd think they would be in all, you know, across the board in all of the tests. And so if you have sort of a mixed environment that, and you already have a Quad G5, that's a good system to stick around with. But the Quad G5s are going to be going away. The Power Mac G5s are going away. I mean, there's just so much inventory that you can get of those. And so that's something to keep in mind if you're going to be buying a new system and you're keeping it around for a while. You may want to consider a Mac Pro and just kind of live with it with anything that you have under Rosetta.
It's a tough decision.
You're laying down a lot of cash and you have a lot of things on the line riding on the system.
Yeah, you know, another thought too is the do you buy the first year new automobile? Do you buy the first model of the new Krupps Espresso machine? Do you get the first year deal or do you let them work out the small little problems? Now, I mean, this stuff is so finely engineered and detailed and researched. It's not like
they're throwing
together a bunch of junk for the first time and maybe it's going to run and maybe it won't. But people always talk about this, and this could be something going back from buying cars, okay? They come out with a new Camaro. You know, they're coming out with a new Camaro, I think, in 2008.
Wow.
Chevrolet announced it.
Yeah.
Camaro's back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you buy the new Camaro?
No.
Are you waiting for 2009, brother, after the first year, after they've done the 300 factory recalls?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same thing with the computer. Do I want to wait for that 3.25 gigahertz?
I think it depends.
Chicken Hawk, Intel, whatever they call it, next week chip.
You know, it really comes down to some guys that are like big shops and they need to standardize on one platform. They need to get 100 of them. You know, let's say, for instance, you know, they need 100 Mac Pro systems right now. You may not be able to get 100 G5s going forward.
Yeah, and talking about that, like I said earlier, you can still buy a Power Mac G5 and an Xserve RAID with a G5 processors in the Apple Store still.
Yeah.
So is this because of legacy support for Mac OS 9? Because here's the deal, you cannot run OS 9 or Classic or any iteration thereof on a MacBook, MacBook Pro, Mac mm-hmm. Pro, iMac, or anything with an Intel chipset.
That's right.
Those no working, no mall.
That's right. And there's going to be a lot of studios, I mean, especially in the music business, or even in this studio, very studio itself, we still have OS 9 running.
Right.
And in this very facility, because it is so expensive to upgrade, and some of those plugins that you have don't even exist anymore. And why change it if it's all working, if you're happy with it? Does it really need to ever be upgraded? Probably not. Probably nothing that they're going to take advantage of. They're comfortable with it.
I guess it's think before you jump off the bridge. Don't hop in the barrel and go over the falls.
Yeah, there's no real reason I can see that you absolutely have to have
but
one of the systems.
If you know going forward you're going to use new software, you have an old machine that's just, you know, I can't handle my 933 G4 anymore. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I got a G3.
Yeah, if you have a
I want to commit suicide. What do I do? I got to have a computer. I can't handle anymore, man.
Yeah.
I waited out the whole G5 evolution, and man, I got to have it. Get it.
Yeah.
I guess it all comes down to, do you need the machine today? Do you need it today? Get it. Because you are probably, if you're going to wait for this type of deal and you're going to keep waiting and waiting, are you losing productivity by using old junk hardware that's not junk, but it doesn't keep up with the current suite of applications you're using? Just get the new machine so your productivity level goes up, because the dough you spent on the new machine, you're probably going to make it up from the time you wasted on a slow one.
Absolutely. No, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Go out and get that. Spend the money so you can be more productive and get more business.
You're a photographer.
Yeah.
You want to do something in an image, a Gaussian blur, and it takes 4 minutes on my old G3. Well, if I could do it in 20 seconds on a G5, take that by 300 or 400 photos that I just took at the wedding. Dude, I might have saved 4 hours that I could have went out and made an extra 400 clams times whatever I'm going to have the machine paid for in a month. So, you know, there's just things to think about. So, either way, cool stuff there. Check it out, apple.com/MacPro. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058. Or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m., post-production, production, distribution, you name it. If they're talking about it, the cat's talking about it. Check them out, digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, like you said, you know, the Mac Pros are cool.
Yeah, but
there's
just like anything else
happening on, but
yeah, proceed with caution as anything. You know, just take it with a grain of salt. A new platform, new hardware. Not all the software is native.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get bit. I think anything you buy from Apple these days, the stuff's on the money.
Yeah,
their support is great. The customer service has been great, at least for us.
Yeah, I think it's been very good. I think you always want to get a new Mac system with the AppleCare anyways, just because you never really know. And it's a very inexpensive option to have added on. But if there is any repairs that's needed on that system and you don't have AppleCare, you're going to wind up in some serious hurt. You might wind up buying a whole new system. Just, you know, the price of a whole new system just to get your existing system fixed.
You know, AppleCare rocks.
Oh, yeah, very good.
For the dough, especially on displays.
So we had a pretty good show so far.
Yeah, we had the cats on. We had Jim Matthews on from Fetch Softworks, the guys that made the original FTP client for the Mac.
Yes.
Or one of the originals, if not, mighty early dude.
Yeah.
4.5, OS 4.5, we're talking like $6,800.
Yeah, must have been really, really early with little, you know, with not even Ethernet, but just serial port cables chained together. That's crazy.
When Alan Oppenheimer and all those cats wrote Apple Talk, this is way back. Alan's been on the show a bunch of times, our buddy Alan.
Mm-hmm.
He makes some cool software still. He's still at it.
Yeah.
These guys are hardcore.
Oh, that's
crazy. And then we hear, you know, Woz is going to drive to Antarctica in a hydrogen-powered Hummer with the dude that went to the moon. What's his name?
Alan Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin. Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Would that be a trip?
Yeah.
Buzz and Woz in a Hummer.
Buzz
dude.
And Woz. That sounds like a buddy film.
I got
film,
a question. You know what
Buzz
do those cats do when they're cruising in a Hummer for all that time? Are they drinking beers and throwing them in the back? You know, are these guys like, you know, what are they doing, man?
Well, they're probably listening to their iPod and downloading from iTunes.
What are they listening to? What kind of music do you put on? Are these guys putting on some, you know, little Zeppelin, baking some up, dude, going for a cruise in the Hummer, you know, drinking beer, throwing Heine cans in the back, miniature kegs.
Certainly what's cool about Antarctica is I don't think you can get pulled over for speeding up there, so that's kind of cool.
Where are they driving from? Are they going to start off at Chile and, like, take a little boat over and they're going to get dropped off and then cruise the rest of the way? Or is the ship going to take them to the edge and they're just going to party the whole way? And
well, no need to stop for ice, you know.
Guys in, like, they're in, like, you know, outfits and, you know, they're in, like, freeze-proof deals and they're like, it's like a lunar mission. Hey, you've been listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Like I said, I'd like to thank our guest today. We had Jim Matthews on from Fetch Softworks, the creator of Fetch, the very cool FTP program for the Mac. I think one of the originals. We had Arnie Ramirez on, the CEO of MCE Technologies, talking about some cool new stuff going on there and things you can do to upgrade your MacBook, MacBook Pro, your Mac Pro, cool things there. And of course, we've been talking about all kinds of great stuff. We had Dino Orlando on, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. And we'd like to thank the sponsor of the Inside Mac Show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, FirmTech, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creator Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information on the Inside Mac Radio program over at www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be back next week with more great things about your Mac, and stay tuned all next week and every day for the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. Check it out, www.insidemacradio.com.